When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Hey there! Welcome to Seventh Heaven, a lesbian recap. I'm Lindsay, and I'm joined by my co-host and real-life partner, Carling. We're diving into the 90s hit drama through today's lens.
Get ready for our off-the-cuff commentary and peeling back the layers of the Camden family. We'll tackle everything from family rules, life lessons, and 90s fashion.
Join us every week for a lighthearted queer perspective and a trip down memory lane.
Whether you're a diehard fan or new to the show, this recap is for you.
Oh, you're so sleepy?
I'm so sleepy. Do you know what annoys me?
Oh, tell me.
When there's a reminder on my phone, but I haven't done it yet, so I don't want to tick it off.
Yeah.
But every time I look at my phone, I'm like, God, I got to make a hair appointment.
Is that what yours says?
That's what mine says.
Look at what mine says. Oh, gosh, where is it? Well, they're there. It says hair appointment and dentist.
Well,
so
you're a better person than me.
Because we both have appointments we haven't ticked off?
No, because you have the dentist as well.
Oh.
I only care about my hair, but you care about your gum health.
Yeah, and my hair.
Your hair.
We're already on episode 5 of season 3.
I know, that's pretty wild.
Yeah.
We're going to catch up. We're going to get to a place where we're recording a little bit more frequently, but...
Yeah, things are just crazy. I'm jet-setting out of town tomorrow.
Yeah, like with no notice. You're off to Halifax.
Yeah. I'm excited about it. I don't know what my hair's doing, but...
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
were just voted in to join a board.
Yeah.
And so they were like, hey, guess what? You're in. Hey, also guess what?
You need to be here by Saturday.
You need to be in Halifax.
And we're in Calgary, which is like probably the equivalent of flying like LA to New York.
Yeah.
Because of... So it's like is there a 4-hour time change?
No, it's a 3-hour time change.
They're in the same time zone as Toronto?
Oh, maybe 4 hours then.
Yeah.
I don't know. We should look it up so we know.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, I'll know when I land what time it is.
Yeah, you'll have to
tell me. Got a layover in Montreal. I don't know. Keep me apprised of my travels and my whereabouts.
Anyway, I said, listen, ma'am, get your priorities straight. If you're jet setting, we need to record tonight.
It's true.
So here we are. Episode 5. The episode title is...
Take three.
We got booted out. I had to restart my computer.
Yeah, twice.
Okay, we were talking about Hannibal Lecter.
Yes. So this episode is season 3, episode 5, and a nice Chianti. So Silence of the Lambs came out in 1991. This is from 1998.
After watching this episode, I don't see the connection.
No, like the line is that Hannibal Lecter says, and I ate his liver with fava beans and a nice Chianti. And it was like, it's the mailman or the milkman or the postman, or he eats a delivery man's liver.
Oh, okay.
Have you not seen Silence of the Lambs?
I don't think so. It doesn't really seem like my jam.
That's fair.
Like, I know enough cultural references to it, but I don't think I've seen it.
Yeah, I don't know what in this episode it is referring to. I didn't pick that up, that cultural reference.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's October 19th. It's 1998. Matt stops to help a pregnant girl having car trouble, and she thanks him by hijacking his car.
When I think hijack, I think, give me your keys. Get out of the car. Like somebody pointing a gun or a fake gun.
Yeah, like I think that's a hijack. This was more of like she just stole his car.
Yeah. She needed a getaway car, and there was one sitting there, and so she got in it.
Exactly. Should we talk about Matt right off the bat, or?
No, that's a pretty juicy one. Let's talk about, like, Lucy and Simon.
Ugh.
Well, I guess Mary is sort of this overarching.
Right.
So Mary gets her learner's permit.
Yeah.
And which I thought she was 16. I guess maybe she just didn't get it right. Maybe you have to be 16 in California to get your learner's permit.
Yeah, maybe that's just a house rule. I don't know.
Right.
But nobody will ride with her. Everybody's scared to drive with her. Even the parents.
Yeah.
Even Annie and Eric.
So Lucy and Simon decide they're going to take the bus to and from school because that is better than being driven by Mary.
Yeah. So who's been driving them since Matt graduated?
I think Annie. Yeah. Okay. So Lucy and Simon wake up extra early one morning, on the first morning, and they go to the bus.
And Ruthie doesn't have the choice.
Yeah.
She has to get driven, but she's doing things like wearing a football helmet, wearing a hockey helmet.
Yeah. Wearing sports equipment to stay safe.
And I know this is California and in the 90s, and maybe they didn't know, although I'm pretty sure the LA Kings were doing pretty well in the 90s. And Wayne Gretzky played for them. So, like, they should know.
Know what?
That wasn't a hockey helmet. That was an old school, just goalie mask that, like, Jacques Plante used to wear. He never wore a mask. But, yeah. Like, right. Back in the day.
Yeah. Jacques Plante.
Anyways.
Right.
That continuity mistake.
Sure. Yeah. So Simon.
It's a Michael Myers mask.
Yeah, it does look like a murderer mask. So Simon gets on the bus and he looks around and it's that awkward moment where everyone's sitting and they don't know, like, he doesn't know where to sit.
Yeah, because he never takes the bus.
Yeah.
So do his parents pay for the bus for him and Lucy?
I think this is just a different time. Like, here in Canada, if you want your kid to take the school bus, you have to pay a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the bus driver does, like knows whose kid is expected on the bus and who isn't.
And where and what their stops are, what their names are.
Right.
They make a seating plan.
Yeah.
Like, I drove a school bus for 4 years, guys.
You know. We have the real expert here with us today.
And this bus driver that kick Simon off eventually. You can't do that.
Right. So he looks around and there's nowhere to sit. And the cool, in quotes, cool kids or the bullies are like, sit up there with the nerds.
You nerd.
Yeah. So he goes and he sits down and he's mortified. And then when he gets off the bus, these cool kids or bullies go up to the one of the nerds and is like, you didn't let me copy your homework. And the nerd's like, yeah, well, it was...
His name's Marvin. You can't just keep...
Oh, I didn't know his name. I didn't write it down. The nerd, Marvin.
And the bully, whose name is Nick.
Nick says to Marvin, pardon me. Nick says to Marvin, where's my homework? And Marvin is like, it doesn't work like that. It's a personal essay. If you copy my homework, it's going to be obvious.
Yeah, it's like a point of view essay.
Right. And so Nick is going to beat Marvin up, but Simon steps in. He's like, is there a problem here? Like, suddenly he's a security guard. And
now he's his dad.
Right. And he's wearing khakis and everything. So he basically said, like, makes them both come to an agreement. He's like, instead of doing his homework, maybe you could help him with his homework. And so all is well. And he goes on to convince several quote unquote nerds to help several quote unquote bullies with their homework.
A bunch of Marvins helping a bunch of Nicks.
Yeah. And everyone's cheering for him and they think it's so great. And
then Nick got an F on the homework.
For fail.
Yeah.
So all of these cool kids ended up failing. And when Simon asks, like, what the heck, guys? They're like, just because we're nerds doesn't mean we're smart. Yep. We just look at our books to make so they don't beat us up.
Marvin's like, I'm a C student. I don't know why he thinks I'm smart. Like, just because we're nerds, we're not. We just have to want to sit at the front of the bus.
Yeah.
We just don't want to be near them.
Like, touche. Okay. Yeah. So Simon finally, so he's like nervous all day that he's going to get beaten up. And then he ends up back on the bus and the kids are like, you got two Nixes, you got two choices, an atomic wedgie.
Screaming
wedgie. Oh, sorry, screaming wedgie, or you can walk home. And the bus driver, like, doesn't really say anything. So then Marvin is like, in my experience, you're better off just to walk home. So Simon gets off the bus, everyone cheers, and the bus driver says, for all bus drivers in America, thank you. You can't do that.
No. Like, my Facebook memories today were me venting about a parent not being at a bus stop for a kid and I had to sit there and wait. Because if they were below grade one, like if they were kindergarten or grade one, you had to wait for a parent or a safe adult.
Totally.
But like, the bus driver is just as much a bully here.
Yeah.
Also, I'm convinced that to save money, because we all know that Seventh Heaven falls into hard times eventually. They had that bus driver's driving Simon's bus and Lucy's bus.
At the same time.
Yes. Like, they're showing it at the same time. And it's a different bus.
Yeah. So it keeps flipping from one scene to the next, like one bus to the next. Yeah. But it's at the same time and it's the same bus driver.
Yeah. Because I also looked on IMDb and there's only one bus driver listed.
You sleuth.
Okay. So Simon decides he's going to walk home. And then Lucy is also taking the bus because she's scared of Mary's driving. Although it actually comes out that she's not scared of Mary's driving. She's embarrassed by the parents.
Yeah, specifically Annie, who is very pregnant.
Yes.
And she said whenever they see Annie, mom, she's just like, she's proof that they're
a walking advertisement.
Yeah, of what her parents get up to.
Yeah, doing it.
Embarrassing.
Boinking.
Yeah.
Bumping uglies.
Yeah, a lot of things. So
Lucy gets on the bus and same thing, awkward, I don't know where to sit situation. So she sits down eventually and this...
In a seat by herself.
Yeah. And this greasy, frosted tipped... And he introduces himself as Stevie Stevenson. Like, my get out of here.
Stupid Stevie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she walks in and she's like, ugh, I forgot freshmen. And I forget, would freshmen be younger than her?
Yeah, I think they're in grade 9.
Okay. So, yeah, this group of freshmen are like, ooh, fresh blood, an upper class chick.
And this guy will not leave Lucy alone. And so he's like, well, I've got a girlfriend. Her name's Sheila. Because Lucy's like, well, I've got a boyfriend. Leave me alone. And he's like, well, I've got a girlfriend named Sheila. And then there's this girl in the seat in front of them giving them the stink eye.
Yeah.
And Lucy's like, well, is that your girlfriend? And he's like, yeah, but you know, we're young. We don't have to commit and make these decisions just yet. So it's like a casual thing.
But she's
like
my part-time girlfriend.
Sheila doesn't think that, though.
No. Sheila is pissed.
So Sheila threatens Lucy. And then Lucy gets on the bus to go home and Stevie Stevenson's all over her again. Slimy Steven.
Oh, he's so gross. She's like, I don't even know who you are. And he's like, well, we can fix that.
Get out of here, Stevie. Yeah. So Sheila and her friends walk up to Lucy in the hallway and threaten her. They're like, meet us out in front of the school by the bike racks.
3 p.m.
3 p.m.
And Lucy's like, I'm not scared of you. And they're like, well, you should be. And she's like, okay, well.
And she does say, well, I'm going to bring my sister.
Yes.
But then Lucy runs into Mary in the hallways and Lucy tells Mary that it's actually not her driving that she's scared of. That's when she says, I'm just embarrassed of mom and dad, and that mom is a walking advertisement, that mom and dad have sex. And Mary says, like, I hope these kids beat the snot out of you.
Yeah.
Because, like, calm down, Lucy.
Yeah. Very Lucy.
So then the end of the school day and Eric, so because Mary's only got her learner, so a parent still has to bring the car to the school for her to drive it home.
Yeah.
So Eric rolls up in the car and Lucy sees these girls coming towards her, Sheila and her two, I don't know,
30-year-old friends dressed as teenagers.
And like, I don't know, the stink eye and the sass. And yeah. Lucy just freaks out and runs to the car. And slides into the back seat.
But can we all just teach our girls, A, stand up for yourself? Lucy was doing a good job saying, no, no, thank you. I have a boyfriend. Get out of here. I'm not interested. Can we teach our sons to, like, take no? No is a complete sentence. Mm-hmm. And then also, like, how did this hussy part-time girlfriend not hear Lucy saying, no, no, thank you, I'm not interested, I have a boyfriend, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, like, she should have been then Sheila and Stevie. Like,
yeah.
Gross. Sheila should have been like, she's saying no, I thought you were my boyfriend.
Yeah, and in fact...
And then dump him.
Yes. Sheila and Lucy should have become friends.
Like those kind of friends?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Anyway.
That's it for Lucy. She runs to the car. Sheila and her friends, like, slow walk, like, up to the vehicle.
Yeah.
But, like, in silence.
Yeah, like, and then, they're gonna swagger.
Swagger.
Like, up to the...
Like, put your window up, Lucy. I don't know.
Yeah. I wrote one note, and there's nowhere really good to put this, but it never went anywhere. I just wrote, Annie's struggling to do house stuff because she's pregnant.
I wrote, too much laundry. Eric not helping make the bed properly.
Yeah, she's like trying to do laundry in the morning and she can't bend down to pick up the baskets.
And there's three of them, those big wicker baskets that are like, awful to carry.
Like, why did those ever exist?
I don't know. But like,
we have a skinny cylinder of a,
yeah,
of a basket. Like, it's tall and skinny, so it's easy to carry.
And it fits like nicely in next to the dresser.
Yeah, it's great.
I don't know. And so she's like,
it's from Walmart. Highly recommend.
She's like struggling to pile all this laundry. And then she's got three stacked wicker baskets of her damn kids' laundry.
Which also, can we not go back to season one when Simon was showing Ruthie how to do her own laundry?
Yeah, measuring the soap in Annie's bra cup. That didn't
last. No. Nope. Yeah.
Well, his mom's boobs are too big now. She's pregnant.
It'd be too much soap.
It's too much soap.
Yeah. So she asks Mary to help her. So that's fine. And then she's trying to make the bed and she's struggling to make the bed. So Eric tries to help her and she's like, I've really got this, because he's making a mess of it. And I just think, like, I wonder if there was a bigger storyline there, or are they getting us ready for her to have the baby? Like, was this just their way of, like, maybe showing the progression of pregnancy?
Yeah, maybe. But there's also like a whole underlying laundry thing where, so eventually at the end of the episode, all the kids come home and she's got their laundry done and folded and stacked by kid per pile. And then she just hands each kid a pile.
Yeah.
And then she does say, like, I guess there's this, like, threat that if they don't pick up their underwear, if they don't put their underwear in the laundry basket, she's going to throw it on the front lawn for everybody to see.
Right.
And she's like, it's like an empty threat. Like, all the kids know it's an empty threat.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we talk about Eric.
Talk about Eric. So there's too much laundry. So Eric can't stay to help make the bed because he's doing a terrible job of it anyways.
Right.
And he's got to go to this woman named Elizabeth's house because her and some guy, her husband, are divorced. And we figure out that it was because their son Alan died. And now there's a divorce happening.
Yes. And it sounds like Eric's been working with them for a long time and he couldn't save their marriage. Mm-hmm. And so he thinks, well, I keep making things worse. Maybe I can just show up and not make things worse.
And maybe make it better.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
For Elizabeth. I don't right. know. So he gets there and she's crying. She's a mess. She can't move on. No good days.
No.
So Eric says, okay, well, maybe just try to like do something for yourself.
Yeah. He says you have 15 minutes a day to cry and the rest of the time, let other people help you. Yeah. Maybe go to a salon.
Don't let Eric help you make your bed though.
Yeah.
So this woman goes to a salon to get her hair done. And while she's at the salon, this very happy, bubbly woman walks in named Carolyn Fulton.
Right.
I don't know why. Anyways. And she is talking about how she had a heart transplant 3 years ago. And Elizabeth is like, oh, that's when my son died and we donated all of his organs. Maybe this woman has my son's heart. So the woman that's playing Carolyn, I had to look her up because I recognized her from Friends. So her name is in Friends is Joanna. She's only in 3 episodes, but she's in the episodes. So her real name is Alicia La Placa. Might be Alicia.
Alicia La Placa.
She's Joanna, and she's Rachel's boss at the department store.
Oh.
And she's in the episodes where Rachel takes up smoking because Joanna and the other coworker keep going out for smoke breaks. And that's when they have all their good ideas. Mm. And she's like, oh, that other person's going to get promoted. And so Rachel takes up smoking, but then convinces everybody to quit smoking. It's a whole thing.
It was a nice
hilarity ensued.
Right. You got to do what you got to do.
So, Elizabeth is like, this could be Alan's heart. So who does she turn to? Reverend Eric Camden.
Yeah, Eric can do everything.
Exactly.
So she's like, Eric, I need you to call. I asked the salon for her number. They gave it to me. Like, let's talk about
her name,
Floyd.
Number, everything.
Name, number, the fact that she had a heart transplant. I need you to call her. And Eric's like, oh, okay. So he calls her, but then invites her to
his
church,
chambers.
To his chambers.
So she shows up. And she's like, oh, they've never met. And she's like, yeah, I did have a heart transplant, but it was from a teenager who was riding a motorcycle without a helmet. And he ran into the back of a truck. Like
oh, did they have to be so
okay.
descriptive?
Okay, Carolyn.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, that's not how Alan died.
We never know. I don't think we find out how Alan died. It was just an accident.
We know nothing about Alan. He's dead.
He's a dead organ donor.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
So then Eric has to tell Elizabeth that it's not her son's heart. And then she's sad about that. And then we have to pause there till the end because we got to talk about.
Well, I think we can just fill in that little blip.
Okay.
Do you think?
Well, then we got the people don't know who Teresa is.
Isn't Teresa...
We haven't talked about her is all I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, okay. We'll put a big pregnant
put a
pause.
Pin in that. A pregnant pin in that one.
Yeah.
Okay, so should we talk about Matt?
Yeah. Matt is driving down a very pretty mountainous road.
Yeah, like it's very California.
Yeah. And he's just driving his Camaro or whatever it is.
If that's what it is. You're so good.
Thanks. You said it. And then I was like, I hope I remember that. So driving the Camaro and then he looks on the side of the road and there is a very pregnant teenager standing outside of a car with the hood popped.
Yeah. Waving her arm.
Saying, look, I need help.
So Matt pulls over and guess who it is? Jenna Von Oy. You know who that is?
Six
from Full House or from Blossom.
Was Blossom after this or it must have been before this?
It was before this because she looks way older.
Yes. I was just like, I couldn't see it. Like I knew that it was her, but I was like that. It's not registering. She had long hair. She was very pregnant.
Yeah. And she wore a lot of hats too.
The Blossom hats.
Yes.
I had several.
I was trying to look it up, but it won't work because I turned off my Wi-Fi.
Yeah. That's okay. So Teresa is like, I don't know what's wrong with my car. And he's like, well, I don't know anything about cars, but maybe I can take a look and see.
Yeah.
So he looks in the hood and he's like, well, I don't see any wires loose. Nothing's on fire. I don't know. I think I can't really tell, but maybe if we boost it. Meanwhile, Teresa has slowly walked away, gotten into Matt's car.
Taken off.
And then I think they meant they it was supposed to look like a peel out. It looked to me like the slowest pull away ever.
Yeah, she had to adjust the seat. Jenna Von like, Oy is tiny.
She's very tiny.
She's like 4'11".
Yeah. But it was like fishtailing, but like just in a slow, controlled way. Like they didn't have the budget for real stunts.
So it was probably Jenna Von Oy doing the stunt. Yeah. And they were like, just drive it like slower.
Yeah.
So lo and behold, the cops pull up randomly, but it's not Sergeant Michaels. I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, for sure. Like, who are these two guys?
And they run the plates on the car that was Teresa's that's just abandoned there that Matt's like sitting in trying to get going.
Yeah. He's like, it's not my car. I was helping a pregnant girl, but she took my car. So this is her car.
And the cops are like, well, this car's stolen and you're the only one here.
I wrote police to the rescue. Nope. He's arrested by sassy cops.
Yeah. Matt's like, are you going to arrest me? And then the cop was like, no, we don't do that anymore. We actually just take the car and return it back to the owner.
Yeah. Like, calm down, Officer Sassy.
So, of course, Sergeant Michaels brings Matt back to the house.
Yeah. So Annie's upset because Matt hasn't called to say he's going to be late and he missed dinner. And Eric's like, okay, I'll talk to him. But then while this is happening, Sergeant Michaels brings in Matt and they're like, what's going on? And then they explain that this happened.
And like what they're kind of saying is that there's still no answer for why Matt had this stolen vehicle. And so
he continues to be a prime suspect.
Like, just do a little touch of investigating, but these sassy cops, they
like, didn't he have an alibi? Couldn't he prove? Like, I don't know. But so anyway, now everyone's teasing him that he's a felon.
Yeah, all the other kids are teasing him because they know, but it's funny.
Yeah.
So then, of course, Eric and Sergeant Michaels, they got to go find Teresa.
The dream team. They find her at a maternity clinic.
Like, good, she's pregnant.
Sergeant Michael's like, it wasn't hard. I just called around and I found her. Like, what does that mean? You didn't know her name. You just said, is there a pregnant teenager driving a Camaro?
Like, based off of maybe her just description that Matt gave, but still, like you can't, that's not. Yeah. Anyways, so they find her.
They find her, and what do?
Bring her back to the Camden household.
As you do. You stole my son's car, but we don't want you to get in trouble, so...
And so now there's talk about, like, charges being dropped and it's okay and, like, and then there's this weird scene where Teresa is helping Matt with the laundry.
No, we got to talk about how she gets in the house first. Annie is dancing to the most up-to-date technology, like a Walkman.
With those metal earphones.
The metal headphones with the very thin foam, like, like a single layer of foam on your ear.
Yep. And then that thin, thin piece of metal.
Yeah. And she's just dancing like a crazy person.
What I thought was interesting, though, is in an earlier scene, she gets into the car with Mary and there's like opera music blaring. And she says it's for the kid, for the twins, like for the babies inside of her. But yet when she's at home, she's got headphones on.
Yeah. So, it's called variety.
But the babies can't hear that.
Maybe they were sleeping. And so she's like, I just want ear music in my ears, not my belly. Either way, she's dancing and Eric walks in with a very pregnant, tiny blossom.
No, six.
Teresa. And she's like, oh, hello. I see we have something in common, and gestures to her belly. And Eric's like, this is Teresa who stole Matt's car or borrowed Matt's car.
Matt's car.
Teresa's parents are coming over later tonight. And we need to talk to them. And Annie's like, do they know that you're pregnant? And she's like, no. And she's like, well, don't worry. Eric's really good at talking to parents. And then Eric's like, well, I actually thought this could be something you could do.
Because you're both pregnant?
Yeah. Like, so yeah. Then there's this awkward laundry.
So Matt's doing the laundry, but Teresa's trying to help. And it's like... She's like showing that it's hard to bend over with her pregnant belly to reach the laundry just like Annie was.
Yeah.
But then Annie comes over and they have this like back and forth about the underwear on the lawn thing. And it's almost like they're flirting.
Eric and Annie? Matt and Annie.
Yeah, it was weird. I didn't like it.
It's like Matt is like, there's no way your parents are going to be upset. They're going to be happy that they found you because you ran away. Mm-hmm. And he's like, parents make empty threats all the time. Like, my mom always threatens that if we leave our laundry around, she's going to throw it on the lawn, and she's never done it. And then Annie comes over and she like slaps him and is like, you never know. I'm just waiting for the perfect time. And then they have this like weird embrace, and it felt like they were just like shoving their healthy relationship in this poor parentless pregnant Teresa's eyes.
They were.
Look at how close we are. Bet you don't hug your dad like that.
You can't have this.
Yeah.
So she's like, I'm so worried. Like, this isn't going to be like you and your parents. Like, my parents are not like this. So lo and behold, Teresa's parents show up, and they are the meanest people in the entire world.
Fuck them.
Like, I don't even know who. I was trying to think of like another parent, like two parents in a movie that I could compare them to, but like I don't even
know.
I don't even know.
It's not possible.
They're like, you made a mistake. You're a mistake. You can't take back your mistakes. You're out of our lives.
Yeah, basically.
And then Annie starts to lecture the parents on mistakes and disappointments and how like her kids make mistakes all the time and they disappoint all the time, but like they're her kids and you got to love them and da 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 da. And then nope, that doesn't get anywhere with them. And then Eric says something and then that doesn't get anywhere with them. And then Matt is like, we're getting out of here. You don't have to put up with this. And that doesn't get anywhere. So then these parents are like, well, see you never. And they storm off.
Yeah,
storm
we told out. You if you ever mess up like this, you're out of our lives.
And so as they're walking out, the other four kids, like Lucy, Mary, Simon, and Ruthie, are sitting on the stairs with their stacks of laundry. And the Teresa's parents are like, four, five kids and another one on the way. Oh my God, da 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 da. And Mary's like, it's twins.
Yeah, there's actually two on the way and we're perfect.
She's like, excuse me?
Yeah, and they're like, ugh, aghast, and they leave.
Yeah.
But then, like, we don't really know what happens to Teresa, like, in the interim between that moment and the next.
2 weeks later.
How do we know it's been 2 weeks?
It said 2 weeks later across the bottom of the screen.
Oh, I must have been typing a note or something.
And I was going to say to you, oh, that's the first time there's been a time jump that's been mentioned.
Right.
So it said 2 weeks later across the screen, and then they're back in the chamber, Eric's chambers. Like, Eric is in his chambers.
But we have to mention Elizabeth when Eric says, hey, are you biting an eraser?
Yeah.
That's weird.
I don't know. Just, like, felt like I needed to bite it.
Okay. Eric says, I didn't find the donor. Mm. It wasn't Elizabeth, or it wasn't
Carolyn.
And then he's like, but would you still like to meet her? Because she'd like to meet you. Mm-hmm. And Elizabeth is like, I really could use a friend that needs me.
Yeah. Elizabeth needs a friend. Carolyn is very outgoing. Teresa needs a family.
Yeah. Teresa needs a lot.
So he sticks them all together.
Yeah. So then 2 weeks later.
2 weeks later, they rendezvous in Eric's chambers.
With all these shopping bags.
Yeah.
And who does? Carolyn, Elizabeth, and
Teresa. Yeah. They've probably been at the department store with Rachel.
Yeah.
And so Teresa has moved into Elizabeth's house.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, though, because you said, like, when Elizabeth was saying that she just needs someone to, like, keep her happy or something, you were like, she should get a dog. But nope, she got a pregnant teen.
Yeah, like, okay, sure. Both need you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so Eric's like, you paged me and said I needed to come down here. And so we couldn't wait. We just stopped shopping and came immediately here.
Mm-hmm. And so he's like, well, I reached out to the hospital. I don't know. He like pulled his magic reverend strings.
Yeah.
And the hospital came back and all these people start showing up at the church. And they're like, I'm so-and-so and I got a heart. And
I've got your son's heart. Now I can live.
And this one man comes around the corner holding like a two-year-old. And he's like, your son's eye transplant or cornea transplant saved my vision so I could see my son
every day.
Okay.
Like, rub that one in the wound.
And then someone else was like, and I have your liver.
I have your son's liver. I wouldn't be here today without it.
And then they all group hug.
All of them.
So all these donor people show up. So the guy that got the heart, I looked him up. He was in a whole bunch of episodes of CSI back in the day.
Like, why was he even in the credits? Did it just say Hart Allen's Hart recipient?
No, he said his name.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, like Kevin or something.
Yeah.
Right.
And then, so what I've noticed about, like, IMDb is even if they just had a small role, if they went on to do something more, they've been credited through IMDb.
Okay.
Mostly. Anyways, then everybody lived happily ever after.
Yeah, I guess so. Matt got his car back. Simon and Lucy are back in the car with Mary, who's learning to drive. The divorce lady's still divorced, but now she's got two new friends.
Yep. Oh, I just was on the wrong website.
Yeah, what do we got next week?
Okay, so next week, episode 6 is called End the Home of the Brave,
ooh,
which is a line from the Star Spangled Banner.
Good.
Grandpa and his fiance, so is that Charles and Ginger?
I think so.
Are getting married, and Annie reluctantly prepares for the reception.
Annie, come on!
Get over it. Your mom's dead. Your dad's moved on.
He's happy. Be happy for him.
Ginger seems lovely. Remember the last time when they pretended that they were engaged and then Annie threw a conniption?
Yeah.
She threw a Lucy temper tantrum.
Yeah. Where do you think Lucy gets it from?
Like, I just don't. This is a terrible storyline. If this is the only storyline they're going to keep bringing back, I'm over it. I'm out. Find another.
Cancel the show. Well, you got to pack your bags and head on out.
I know.
I'm going to miss you so much.
Oh, I'm going to miss you too.
Am I going to record a Patreon episode without you?
Oh my God, are you?
No, I couldn't. What would I talk about? God.
I don't know.
No, but if you're enjoying this podcast, you should listen to our Patreon. Mm-hmm. You can find us at A Lesbian Recap.
And on all the socials.
And all the socials. Well,
not all of them.
Two of them.
Just two.
Instagram and TikTok. But
yeah,
okay. We post clips and things. So follow us, check us out, leave us a review, and send us a message and say hello.
Yeah.
What?
All right. I was going to say, are we allowed to talk about our season 9 thing that we did?
Oh, yeah. We were guests on the We Love to Hate TV podcast with Jody and Amanda.
Their total request pod.
Yeah. So over on their Patreon, somebody requested that they recap season 9 episode
15. It's called Red Sox. And it was their musical episode, like Seventh Heaven's musical episode.
It was
atrocious.
Rough.
But it was so interesting watching season 9 because we're only in season 3.
Yeah. So like many Ruthie's different things.
High school. It's crazy.
Yeah. All right. Well, toodaloo.
Bye.
Bye.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miroboard. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miroboard?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online at the same time.
Correct. Next, you need the team to act on feedback fast. So you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
For a limited time, visit Miro.com/retro now for a free business plan trial to unlock advanced retro tools like private mode, voting, and two-way Jira syncing. That's Miro.com/retro now.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.